SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back!
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Late night anger management class. We're breaking it down on the Monday night meltdown. Obviously, this is we've been caught off guard like everybody here this evening. You know what? We were going to talk about this and that and all this other type of stuff, but whatever. It all kind of feels like whatever. I will tell you, though, just to keep you caught up to date with things, I don't know what the hell's going on. So Dana White got into a public fight with his wife last night in Mexico. UFC President Dana White was caught on camera in a physical altercation with his wife at a nightclub in Mexico on New Year's Eve. There's no disputing it. He admits it. He says there's no excuse. No man should ever put a hand on a woman. On video, his wife sort of slapped him. Not that hard, but she sort of slapped him in a club. And he slapped her, looks like twice, back. So that happened. And I see that actor as well. The guy's a good actor, too. And there's an actor, what was he, in a snowmobile accident? Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner was airlifted to a local hospital after one of his neighbors, a doctor, put a tourniquet around his leg to stop the excessive bleeding. He had a snowplow accident. Airlifted to a hospital. He's in stable condition. Crazy start to 2023. Right now. So they said at the hospital that there's not going to be any update. That there won't be any update tonight as far as Hamlin is concerned. I can't help but think, Matthias, of Erickson, right? Similar situation with Erickson just collapsed. And look, Erickson actually plays again right now. Erickson actually, you know, we've got to hope for the best because we've seen this sort of happen before, right? And Erickson did recover. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Hamlin's ever going to play again, but I'm just hoping he lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's scary stuff, man. I'm trying to see like what the hell could have happened. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but so many different scenarios to what could have happened. It's just all bad news, man. So I'm just trying to stay positive myself and prayers up, you know, for Hamlin and his family because this is just insane.
All right. So T. Higgins has just tweeted, my prayers and thoughts go out to Hamlin and his family. I'm praying that you pull through, bro. Love and then prayers in the heart. You imagine, like, T. Higgins, this is like he's involved in this, right? Like, he went down with him. He was right there. Wow. Absolutely wow. Just sad, sad stuff. So I know people are wondering about what's going to happen in the future and about what happens to their bets, but everything will be voided. A football game has to be 55 minutes to be official. The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal in the house, 97.1 The Freak, Dallas, Texas, wherever you may be. We hope you had a happy and safe New Year. Unfortunately, the New Year is off to an auspicious start in the sports world. You know, we had a Rose Bowl, we had a bunch of bowl games, we got NFL playoff scenarios, we had a big-time Buffalo Bills Cincinnati Bengal football game, and then in the first quarter, everything just took a horrific turn, which Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin tackled T. Higgins, and it appeared to be a harmless tackle, right? He landed on top of Higgins, and as we stated, like, if you saw this, you'd be like, well, nothing really happened. I don't really know. And then he stood up, and unfortunately, he just then collapsed. I thought it was something cardiac at the moment. I'm clearly not a doctor, but at the moment, I immediately thought of Hank Gathers. And unfortunately, what happened to the great Hank Gathers, right? And then they administered CPR. We found out it was 9 minutes. Now, I know from personal experience from people close to me that had similar situations, and they were older, but, you know, in a situation like that, you lose oxygen to the brain, right? And then there becomes brain damage. So it's not just the heart, but with the heart, yeah, it stops and it cuts off oxygen to the brain. And as I said, I'm not a doctor, but there's a lot of things that could be happening now. And, you know, we also, from a positive side of things, you know, you think of Christian Eriksen, the soccer player who collapsed on the pitch, and it was scary as hell, and very similar situation. And look, he's back playing again. So I don't know, right? We don't know. Unfortunately, nobody does. We, you know what I mean? This is in, you know, this is in a higher power's hands right now. But there's a 24-year-old man's life at stake. Second year in the National Football League. Great guy, you know. He's got a toy drop going for the community. And, you know, he's a six-round draft pick. Not easy making it in the NFL, no matter who you are. And you know, he's been starting for the Bills. And the Pittsburgh Panther family's hit hard by this as well. He's a Pittsburgh Panther player, and he was very good friends with Kenny Pickett. George Kurtz is going to step up and join us next. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Jared King Lawler has tweeted, I would be willing to bet that DeMar Hamlin has suffered a cardiac arrest from the blunt trauma of that blow to his chest. I know what it's like from experience. And I read a tweet earlier from a doctor who said that's what he believes as well, that it was blunt trauma to the heart area. Like, basically, not to simplify, but you know what I mean? Like, you see those Bruce Lee movies and stuff, and like, you know. To be honest, actually, it's the same thing. It's a prison move. You know, there's not a lot of weapons and stuff like that, right? But if you roll a newspaper up strong enough, you'd be surprised the force, and you strike someone right in the exact spot, you can kill them. Like, you can kill them. So it's just strange that, like, when did he get hit in the heart, right? It was just, like I said, it was a weird play, man. But I'm willing to, you know, I believe that Jerry the King Lawler does know. King's been around a long time. He's seen this stuff. And, you know, wrestling. And, you know, the previous doctor saying the same thing here. It wasn't a concussion. It was, you know, it's clearly a cardiac issue here. I mean, like, we don't have to be doctors to figure this out right now at this point in time. He's intubated right now, so basically he has tubes breathing for him. Now, it doesn't mean that he'll have tubes breathing for him forever. Right? Like I said, I don't know. Remember the Christian Eriksen, the soccer player? He collapsed, and he's fine now. It was a very scary moment at the time as well. The more it went on, you just knew it was bad. Do we have George Kurtz ready to step up in it? I believe we do. George? Yeah, George, you know, I was planning on talking about the playoffs and this and that and all this other stuff and the playoff scenarios, but it's kind of tough right now as this thing still goes on and we don't really know. I guess we're not going to know, you know, I don't know when we're going to know. Like, maybe we won't know in the morning, but I'm sure there'll be a press conference in the morning. But scary stuff, George Kurtz. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, and it's definitely scary stuff, right? We've never really seen something like this. The closest I could remember would be Chris Pronger when he took a puck to the chest.
Yeah.
The same thing here. Now, my wife is a nurse. She's not a cardiac nurse. She's a cancer nurse.
But that was quicker. Yeah, what did your wife say?
She told me what she thinks it probably is. Commotio cordis, something like that. What it really meant.
Yeah, commotio cordis. Yeah, commotio cordis.
Somebody in the chest with enough strength, not only in the right place, but it also has to be at the right time. I think it's from what she described, when if you can get the heart between beats, you can take it off its rhythm. She sort of described like taking a train off its track, is how she described it there.
The medical term, George. So, yes, it's a commotio cordis, where a blow to the chest at the precise moment in the electrical cycle stops the heart.
And the only way to get it back is by the AED. You know, but she was most worried about is that the fact that he still needs the breathing help. So that's not always common with that. So, like I said, she wasn't watching the game. I asked her to come down. She doesn't like football. I asked her to come down when it happened, and she found it a little strange because she doesn't know football, but I'm like, this is a hit that happens a lot. I thought originally, Kate, that it would be a helmet to the chest, a direct helmet hit to the chest, but this is really a kind of a normal tackle here, and he fell too. So was it the hit, or was it when he fell to the ground? What happened there? That's why she's not dead sure it is.
Just a freak.
She thinks it is, because it wasn't a direct shot.
It's just a freak accident. It's a freak one in a million. If not, how many millions of tackles has there been?
Exactly.
It's the wrong, just the wrong movement, wrong second, wrong, you know what I mean? Whatever it was, just that. Because like you said, you saw the play, and at first it was like, oh, I don't know, because I sort of saw this series. I was live on the air when it happened, right? So it was right at the end of the show, literally. It was like 58 or something. No, they said it was 55. 55, that's when it happened. So we're on, we get off, you know what I mean? And we were just going to a break, and we came back from the break, and I sort of saw the highlight, and I said, I thought of Hank Gathers. So basically, Hank Gathers, everybody, if you're younger, he's a basketball player, and he played for Loyola Marymount. There's an ESPN 30 for 30 about him. And I was in L.A. when it happened. I was actually watching the local news when it happened. There was no internet and computers and all that. And Hank Gathers was a big story because he was a leading scorer in the country, and he was a leading rebounder as well. And Loyola Marymount were never good, and suddenly Loyola Marymount were really good, and then Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. I was at Bo Kimble's first pro game after the Clippers drafted him. And he shot the free throw left-handed and stuff. So I couldn't help but think of Hank Gathers. And, George, as well, the city of Buffalo always been through so much. It's just one thing after another, right? And if there's a city, too, that just lives and breathes, with its team, it's this team. It's this city. The people of Buffalo and Bills Mafia, they're so connected to the players, and the players are so connected to them. I mean, during snowstorms, the Bill fans, shovel the snow off the Bills players, not just Josh Allen, but all of them, right? Rousseau was talking about he came out and his driveway was shoveled, and his neighbor told him, I don't want you to strain your back before the big game. He goes, you guys don't know. He's like, these guys are just, the best, right? And if you think of Buffalo, they had a tragic shooting in a supermarket this year, right? They had a snowstorm that just killed 40 people, recently. You know, there's always something, man, with this city that, and they fight through, and they try to stay positive, and they battle through, and then they always just get punched in the face again. And I know this is, it's a football game, but someone's life is at stake here. And as I stated, George, if there's a city where the fans live and breathe with the players, it is Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, I totally believe that, by the way. I know what Buffalo fans do. And listen, you're a huge sports fan, so am I, but the game's not important right now. I mean, you really hope this. He's 24 years old. My God, I'm more than double his age. You really just hope he's okay. Everything's going to turn out fine here. We've never seen this. I mean, sure, you and I can remember Dennis Byrd when he was paralyzed, but he was not, he wasn't going to die from it. I remember watching the game, for Jet games back then. I was watching the game with buddies when it happened. I don't know if we knew this.
Remember the guy in the Lions? Remember the guy in the Lions, too?
Yes. But back then, we didn't have Twitter back then. There was no social media. We couldn't find out what really happened right away. You had to wait. Now you knew almost immediately.
I mean, Mike Utley.
The players' faces, man. Ladarius White. It was awful. As soon as you saw the medical personnel going into their thing, you knew this was bad. When they were rushing, and it's it was not a good sight. That's really the bottom. It was not a good sight. I really hope he's okay. And you know what? We probably don't talk about T. Higgins enough. How does he feel right now? He did nothing wrong, but he initiated the blow. He's got to feel awful as well.
Well, T. Higgins has tweeted that, "I hope you make it, bro." So T. Higgins is clearly rattled right now. Stephon Diggs, all you need to know about Stephon Diggs and what kind of person he is, he took his uniform off and got in an Uber and went to the hospital on his own. And it was clearly not done with any preparation or any team coordination or anything like that, because when he showed up at the hospital, they didn't want to let him in. Yeah, there was police blocking, which rightfully so. The police don't want the hospital to turn into a circus with reporters and everything. So the police are blocking the entrance to the hospital right now. And there was an ESPN reporter outside the hospital, and they vouched and they said, "No, he's on the team, man, and he's you know." And the police let him in. So Stephon Diggs shows up to the hospital. It just goes, that shows the type of guy that he is, right? And look, he's on offense too, and we all know, George, like, offense and defense are separate, right? Like, it, like I said, like, for the star wide receiver to get into an Uber on his own to go see if this kid, like, to be with his family and stuff, shows you all need to know about Stephon Diggs' character. More with George Kurtz on the other side. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. I wish everybody a happy new year. Obviously, it's a difficult night here this evening. We appreciate you joining us, and it goes to show, man, like, you can be an athlete, you could be anybody. You could be old, you could be young. You just don't know, man, in this world that we live in. You just don't know, right? Like, it's sad, as I was saying. So George Kurtz from Sports Grid joining us. We're on Sports Grid Radio and Radio Networks right now. Sirius XM channel 159. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates, including 97.1 the Freak in Dallas, Texas, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio San Diego, in the house, the 50,000 watt juggernaut. I was talking about the difficulty of Buffalo. Listen, it's a beautiful, listen, there's a lot to like about Buffalo and Niagara Falls, and, you know, people, it's always been jokes. They've lost the Super Bowls. But on a more serious note, like, financially, they've been hit hard in the past. They, you know, financially, they're doing much better now. But there's been, you know, there's just always something, right? You know, there's been, this city's faced a lot of adversity. And I said earlier, a lot of cities love their team, right? And I'm not saying Buffalo and the Bills fans are the only people that love their NFL team, but it's a different thing. Right, like, trust me, people in New York aren't, like, shoveling slow for the Giant players and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? They're athletes in the city, and they're a team. Like, it's just, yeah, they're a team in the city. It's not the same, like, in Buffalo. It's hard to describe unless you've been there and you really know. And me being a Bills fan, I do know. Like, it's just, it's different. It's just different. But I can't help but think, George, and I crossed my mind tonight as well, speaking of Buffalo, Clint Malarchuk, another one of the most scariest moments in NHL history, right? In which, so if you guys don't know, if you're younger, but during a game between the St. Louis Blues and the Buffalo Sabres on March 22nd, 1989, Steve Tuttle of the Blues and Uwe Krupp of the Sabres crashed into the net. They collided. Tuttle's skate blade basically cut Malarchuk's throat, guys. He was the goalie. Skate cut his throat, blood gushing all over the ice, George. Scary, scary moment, man.
I remember. I think they also said after that if the dressing room was at the opposite end, he wouldn't have made it. That's how close he was to dying there. If it was at the opposite end of the rink, he wouldn't have made it. But because the opening was right there, and they gave him right to the locker room, he survived that. But, yeah, that was definitely probably the grossest thing I've ever seen.
It was so bad, guys.
That was terrible.
That 11 fans in the arena fainted when it happened. 2 fans had heart attacks when it happened in the arena. And 3 players are on the ice, threw up. three players threw up on the ice when it happened. You imagine? So this happens, guys. Imagine 11 people in the stands said, oh my God, and fainted. Two people actually had heart attacks. And it was bad enough that three NHL players were on the ice and they all vomited at the same time, basically, as they saw this. Clint Malarchuk said, I thought I was going to die. All I wanted to do was get off the ice. My mother was watching the game on TV, and I didn't want her to watch me die on TV. Ugh. Wow.
You know, we don't even think about that, by the way, that their, you know, loved ones are watching them. Wasn't it Jay Boumeister of the Blues who almost, he had a cardiac event on the...
Ducks,
I believe it was, a few years back?
There was someone else, too. You're right, Boumeister. I think I'm thinking what you just said, Boumeister. I remember Pronger, but... Wasn't there someone else just a couple of years ago where we didn't see him and you just saw they were frantically working on him behind the bench?
He was. I mean, I think you said it earlier. That, you know, it is a 1 in a million shot or 1 in 10,000, whatever it might be, but it does happen here.
It does.
Are we going to find out that there's an underlying cause as well, too? I believe with Hank Gathers there was. He had an enlarged heart, if I remember correctly, about that. So, you know, and that could add to it. You know, we find it's scary how they find out about some of these injuries after you get hurt. Like Michael Irvin had to retire because they found out he had a narrowed spinal column. I believe David Wright had the same thing. And you don't find out until after you get hurt, until you almost killed yourself, you almost got paralyzed. I mean, it is scary how they don't really know until something bad happens to you.
So it's interesting here. So with Malarchuk, so in 1989, Malarchuk actually joked with the paramedics on the way to the hospital, if they could get him back in time for the third period. So the game resumed when they received word that Malarchuk was in stable condition, was going to be okay. So that's sort of the parallel tonight where they couldn't play George without knowing. You know what I mean? You can't tell players, well, your buddy's in the hospital. We don't know if he's okay or not, but you got to restart the game. Like, if they would have gotten word backs, you know what I mean? We've seen this in the past, George, where an injury looks really serious. In the end, like, you know what I mean? There's been times, too, where neck stuff and this and that. And, like, you're like, oh, man, this looks bad. And they restart the game. But then, like, 10 minutes later, you know what I mean? They'll even be a picture on Twitter. He's in the hospital with a thumbs up. I think that happened earlier in the year. Right? You know, guy's in the hospital. Oh, he's okay now. It's you know, everybody, you know, he's at the hospital, but he's fine. He's injured, but he's fine. We never got that tonight, right? I knew that's when it was getting bad, George.
I think if you have to equate it to your workplace. Anybody that's listening's workplace. You know, people you're close to. If you witness somebody that goes down, I mean, would you want to...
I thought the same thing. Freddie Jackass that was online saying, go back. Imagine, I thought the same thing, George. Imagine you're in an office building and the guy that you know, that you work beside every day, just has a heart attack and drops in front of you. Are you just going to go on with your business after? Well, I'm just going to send my email and go to lunch now.
Good luck. Good luck. If you can go on, hey, I don't know what that says about you, but we all know.
Yeah, but unless it's combat, unless you're a troop or a war, like, you know what I mean, where it's your job to go on. You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, unless, you know what I mean? And even then, they don't leave anyone behind. You know what I'm saying? But, like, there has to be an element of humanity, George.
You know, I'm sure there are people who can compartmentalize and, you know, not let it affect them. But like you said, if you can go back to work, whatever your job, if you know, some of you're close to, I have no doubt that not every member of the Bills is, you know, great friends with the guy. No doubt. But still, that a football team's a family, baseball team's a family. They're all family, right? And one of these guys goes down, and you know they probably work. He probably was clinically dead at one time, right? His heart stopped. Therefore, you are dead. Right? And they revived him back. And you can go back and play a game after that?
Well, what it is, you're right. George?
It's hard to think about.
They think, right? They'll be rattled, bro, some guys. Like you said, even, you know, not everyone's best friends on a team, but, like, guys will be rattled because they know, number one, it could be them. And they're going to think, man, you know what I mean? I nearly got killed in this game, or I didn't tell anyone, but I don't feel too good myself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to start thinking it happens, and... Then there's a hesitation sometimes. Like, that's why they couldn't play after. You couldn't just tell them to turn it back on. They were going to get hurt. They were crying and stuff. Listen, Ellis Valentine was one of my favorite baseball players growing up as a kid. You know, great cannon, right fielder for the Expos, right? He had a great arm, man. One of the best arms ever in baseball history. He was a really, really good player. Like, he was an all-star caliber player. He made the all-star team. he partied a little too hard, you know, like a lot of people did in the 70s. But he was a great, great player, George, and he got hit in the face, bro, with a baseball. And it shattered his cheekbone, his orbital bone. Like, boom, like his whole face got blown up and stuff. And remember, he was one of the first ones that came back, and he had sort of the, you know, the half football, like he protected his thing. And he told me, I used to interview him a lot, and like about, like we got deep and stuff, like about his life and stuff. And he told me point blank that he said he was never the same after that. He said, like, he said he couldn't get it out of his head. You know what I mean? He said, I just never was the same with that thing. And he said, every time someone threw a pitch, I just sort of relived getting hit in the face and my face getting blown up. And like, it's, so imagine being a football player. It's going to cross some of their minds, George. And listen, I was a goalie as a kid. It scared the hell out of me with that, like, Malarchuk stuff. Right after, I was sort of right around, I was right around when I stopped playing. But there was another one, man, the Adam's apple. Remember, like, I used to wear, like, there was, like, there wasn't neck protectors when I played, George, at the beginning. And then there was. I didn't like it, but I had that thing around my neck. And then the I preferred the plastic thing. But the plastic thing only protected you from the puck, really. Your neck was still exposed, man. Like, I'm amazed, George, that more guys don't get hurt with the skate blades, bro, to be honest with you.
I was just thinking the same thing. How doesn't this happen? I mean,
seriously, guys are flying around, man, into the boards and stuff. Like, they get upended, man. Like,
and that's something else people don't realize if you don't skate. Those blades are, I mean, they're razors.
No, they're sharp.
And they will do damage.
Well, they get them sharpened every, in between periods. They even get them resharpened. Like,
it's crazy how sharp those things are. Those things will cut paper. I mean, I'm always surprised.
Well, you saw it with Evander Kane this year, right? You look at Evander Kane.
Yes, right. Kane had it. Right, that was gross too. I'm just surprised this doesn't happen much more often than two, three times a year. It seems like we only hear about this. They usually get their legs cut. You know, someone gets up, maybe an Achilles, which happens. But I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, Gabe. I mean, I'm really shocked it doesn't happen more often.
I am Gabe Morency. We're joined by George Kurtz right now. So the ramifications, and we'll have, you know, there'll be time to break that down. Right now, you know, there's nothing to really, if you're the NFL, they can't say, well, you're playing tomorrow. We're not playing tomorrow. And considering the Buffalo Bill players just are going back to Buffalo right now.
No, they're not playing tomorrow.
Yeah, are we playing Wednesday? I doubt that.
I doubt right, that. So, I don't think you're playing this week.
I said earlier, George, the Bengals will play against the Ravens this week. I don't think the Bills are going to play. Like, what are they going to, maybe they play the Patriots and then they play the Bengals after, but then what? Then you're asking the Bengals to play another game after they already won the division. There's a lot of weird stuff in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of it is secondary. Listen, I'm a diehard Bills fan. I had a ton of money on this. Whatever. Like, I just want the guy to be okay, man. And then we could deal with everything after that. More with George on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Speak up, George! I can't hear you! You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. George Kurtz joining us right now. What was supposed to be a big day of football, it actually was. There were a bunch of crazy bowl games earlier in the day, and the bowl games have just been crazy, and it's too bad because a bunch of quarterbacks keep getting hurt. But there's one thing, you know, a football injury is one thing. A life-threatening injury is another one. So George Kurtz joining us. I am Gable Morency. We were talking earlier, and George Kurtz's wife is a nurse, and she said she thought it was commotio cordis. There was a doctor on Twitter who basically stated this is just his opinion, but he thought it was commotio cordis. Jerry the King Lawler, a longtime professional wrestler, who's actually had multiple heart attacks, Right? Jerry DeKing. Like, this guy's been, like, he's had, like, three or four. I don't know, quadruple bypass or whatever. Jerry DeKing's been on death's door a few times. Jerry DeKing just tweeted out, from personal experience, I think it's what this is, commotio cordis. He said he got a blow to the heart and his heart stopped, or the heart area, and his heart stopped. So we're seeing here, just so the actual term here, commotio cordis, is an often lethal disruption of heart rhythm that occurs as a result of a blow to the area directly over the heart, the precordial region, at a critical time during the cycle of the heartbeat, producing what is termed an R on T phenomenon that leads to the condition. It is a term of a ventricular fibrillation, not mechanical damage to the heart muscle or surrounding organs, and not the result of heart disease. The survival rate is 58%. Which is an increase in comparison to past years, where only 34% of victims survived. This increase is likely caused by the prompt of CBR, access to defibrillators, and higher public awareness of the condition. So this guy really is fighting for his life right now, George, right? I mean, these are the odds here. It's, it sounds like, you know what I mean? He is young.
I hope that, Dr. Chow said earlier today that outside of having it in a hospital, the next best place to have it might be at a sporting event, because the doctors are right there. So you hope that that raises the
risk. Oh, he's getting the best possible care.
Right, and he got it right away. You know, so you hope that 57% now becomes, I don't know, 80. Just throw out a number there. I have no idea. But it's just hope. You know, he's young, in shape, you know, just that he'll be okay. Now, there's no other words to say this, that he'll just be okay. Like I said, I was maybe it was optimistic, but you were certainly hoping to hear, you know, within a half hour, certainly by now, that, oh, he's all right, he's breathing, you know, he's... Once we heard the vital signs, we're fine, like, okay, he's breathing normally on his own, right? That's what we're waiting to hear, breathing on his own. And when we didn't hear that, like, oh, God. And I said, that's what probably my wife was worried the most. Like I said, she's not a cardiac nurse. My wife works in the cancer unit, so she's certainly not an expert on this. But she said that's probably not a good sign, was what she said, that he's not breathing on his own. She thinks that was unusual. That happened here. So that's the biggest concern here.
He has a pulse,
we're hoping overnight that we get good news, right? We're just hoping we get good news.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Like you said, like all we could do is, you know, pray for him. We can't speculate. We don't know what's going to happen. We can just hope for the best right now. It's just so sad. Like, the video of his mother there before the game with him is just heartbreaking to see now in hindsight. The players seeing them as shook up as they are, in hindsight as well. And props to Joe Burrow. You can see Joe Burrow's humanity. And, you know, it's funny, too. Like, Joe Burrow, his appendix this year and his surgery and stuff. And he even said after that it was a lot worse than that they kind of let on. I don't know if you saw George. Right?
I heard.
He said, he goes, it was like people didn't realize how bad it actually was. Like, he goes, there was some, like, really serious stuff that you didn't want to get into about it. So, you know, all these guys are human, man. You know, like I said earlier, too, football, it's easy. And let's be real, George. Like, a lot of people know, like, the skill position players and stuff. You know what I mean? But, you know, the lineman's just some big fat dude. Or, you know what I mean? The safety is this guy and that guy. And people, not everybody's a household name, even with fans of teams, George. You know what I mean? So, absolutely. Like, and especially with football, I don't know, because they have helmets on, but there's something about it. Like, unless you sort of know them, you don't see them, right? See, it's hard to sort of, like, you see the quarterback's eyes and you're receiving his eyes, but I don't know. How many times has DeMar Hamlin been on TV? Have they focused on him before this year? Never, right? Oh, Hamlin with the tackle, right? But they don't, you know what I mean? I don't know, like, baseball, I guess you get to know them more. I've heard players talk about this, about not being, like, as known and recognizable because of the helmets and stuff, but it's just easy to, you know, they're just normal dudes under there, right, with mothers and stuff, right? There's somebody's sons. Like, we just sort of look at them sort of like a video game. Next man up, somebody's hurt. Oh, that's a shame. The kid broke his leg, right? Like, you know. Even me, today the quarterback gets hurt, you know, for Utah. It's like, well, I hope the next kid up can make plays. You know what I'm saying? But the kid that got hurt was on the sideline with his girlfriend in the second half smiling. He wasn't playing football, but he was on the sideline smiling with his girlfriend. So at least, you know, he was all right. This is just next level. and rattles everybody. This rattles everyone in the National Football League, George. You know, every player is just holding their kids tighter right now.
Yeah, I think Ryan Clark, who, if you're watching ESPN tonight, was fantastic. Ryan Clark's the ex-safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers, an analyst on ESPN, and does a great job. And his son plays college football. I don't remember where, but his son plays college football. And he said, after I saw it, the first thing I did was FaceTime my son. FaceTime my son. Because you could tell, but from Ryan's look, that he was shook up. You know, that he was shook up by this because he's played the game. He knows how dangerous this game can be. And he wanted to talk to his son, as he said. And
LSU.
LSU. Oh, wow, big school. And anybody, once again, who has kids, you know this. You know, we know when they were nothing, right? The little babies, they can't do a damn thing. You raise them. And, you know, no parent wants to go through that. I honestly don't know, Gabe, if it's a good or bad thing that his mother was there.
His son. Ryan Clark was LSU. Yeah. I thought his son went to ASU. Sorry, my bad, George. I just wanted to clear that. But go on.
That's fine. But I said, as a parent, I don't know if I'd want to be there. You know, other than the fact that I can be there, I can be at the hospital. But, man, seeing that live would probably...
I think it's a blessing that she's there, at least. Like, things. Otherwise, she'd be on a plane right now in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? Or waiting in an airport and stuff. Right?
That's the bad part. Yeah, you'd want to be there. I mean, it's tough.
I hate to say it, but listen, man. My mother passed away like this. She had a heart attack in her sleep. And basically, like, they sort of revived her after, but they said she had no oxygen to her brain for like 18 minutes or something. And same thing, it was happening to me. It was actually my birthday. It was actually on my birthday. I got a call. I thought it was her on my birthday. And they said, listen, something happened. And I was 3,000 miles away. I got on the next plane type of thing. So I would almost, you know what I mean? I was there at the end at least, whatever. But like, so if you're the mother, you'd want to be there. I know it's rough for her. Like, I don't know. Like, it's I don't know why some people get dealt these challenges. It's got to happen. It happens to people. Bad things happen to good people every day. It sucks. Like, I wish, you know.
Absolutely.
Wish they didn't, but they do.
It's just, I think, the fact that he's 24, young, you wouldn't expect this. And as you and I saw the play, and something that I told my wife, I mentioned, my wife does not watch football at all. I told her, this play is nothing. I've seen 1,000 times worse hits than this. This play was a normal play. You know, he didn't hit him hard, didn't hit him with the crown of his helmet or anything like that. And he got up, right? And that was to see him go down. I mean, that, I just stunning. Stunning, you know, because I didn't see it originally. Because, you know, you see the play, and I take my eyes off it. I was probably had a hockey game on. Oh, no, because it was 8:55. But I was probably doing something else. So I didn't see him go down originally. You know, I did hear the whistle. I'm like, that's weird. What a whistle. I didn't see the injury. You're like, no big deal. You know, then when they show the replay of him going down, I'm like, oh, God. And then you see the medical, you see the players upset, and then some of them, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get the image of White out of my head, of him going down to his crouching, crying. I'm like, oh, you know, that's not something you want to see. You know, it's just not something you want to see ever on a football field. We're immune or numb to some injuries because we see it all the time. Oh, broken leg. Oh, torn ACL. Oh, concussion. I mean, what we saw from Tua and whatever against Cincinnati as well, right? When he was, I forget what the name of the, what he had when he was concussed there. That was awful. Right, and seeing this, Nick Foles had a seizure yesterday after he got hit. Right, I mean, that was terrible, and this is worse than that, which is really hard to believe here. Like I said, I just can't.
Yeah, that was hard to watch too.
A man will be okay.
That was hard to watch too with Nick Foles, and it should be. You know, I said this earlier too. Teron Johnson of the Bills too. Teron Johnson, he got injured pretty seriously as well. If you remember, like, on one of the first plays of the game, and there was all the Bills medics were out there, and he got seriously injured, which is kind of lost in this. But like I said earlier, like, the Bills were going down every play. Something weird was happening to them tonight. And, you know, we hope that Johnson is all right right now. You know, sad night. It's, you know, dampened what was supposed to be, you know, a great football game, a celebration of football, start off the new year. Quite frankly, this was ESPN's biggest Monday night game in years, right? They haven't had, like, honestly, for them, like, they've had a lot of bad games. And they, off the top of my head, I'd say the Rams and the Chiefs played, and that was about 4 years ago. And that was a big-time Monday nighter when they scored. It was like 51-48 or whatever it was. That was a big-time Monday night game for them. But they were really looking forward to this game. Like, they're, you know, they haven't had a schedule. They were really pumped up for this. All this at stake and stuff. And props to the fans as well in Cincinnati. They handled it well. Because the public address system didn't do a great job of updating them in the stadium. Joe Buck basically even said they haven't even told the fans, but the fans are leaving because the fans figured it out on their own. I guess on their phones, etc. That the game wasn't restarting. But there was no boos. There was no, you know what I mean? Oh, come on. And people can be pretty insensitive, right? When you have 80,000 people, you're always going to get a couple of jackasses. But Cincinnati fans are pretty classy. And then they even went to the hospital after, George, some of them.
Yeah, I thought the fans were very good or better. I mean, you're right. You're always going to have people who are idiots. All right, that's just the way it is. You're not going to get anybody to act appropriately on anything. You look on the internet, you got anti-vaxxers already saying that's why he got hurt. He's like, you got to be kidding me. Unbelievable.
These people are morons. Somebody could get run over by a bus and they'd blame, like, the vaccines.
Right.
Like, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Get
like,
shot. It'll be
because, he was blind because of the vaccination. That's why he got hit by the bus.
Give me a break. I thought that was... I'm just surprised they could equate one to the other. I'm like, wow, that's a stretch. But okay. So that no one ever got hurt in a football game before, right? No one ever got hurt in a football game before COVID. Okay. All right. Sure.
Well, that's the whole thing. People have heart attacks, right? I mean, it's pretty clear what's happened here. As stated, it's never the hits that you expect. That's the thing. When you saw the whole play and you just saw the whole thing happen, you're like, I don't know. Like, what? Like I said, like the Johnson injury was worse. It looked like, oh, man, this kid got messed up pretty good here, right? And then after he goes down, sad stuff. George, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us this evening. I don't really feel like getting into hockey picks or anything like that tonight, but thank you for joining us tonight.
Anytime. Have a great week, everybody. Good luck, Alan.
George Gertz with us. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The entire sports world shake it up tonight. Tweets coming in support for DeMar Hamlin. As I said, nothing's bigger than the NFL. And, you know, the NFL is a dangerous sport. I'm surprised more people don't get more injured than they do when you consider the speed of and the violence of the sport. But it's always, like I said, I remember Bo Jackson. I remember Bo Jackson's... last game, the injury in the playoffs against Cincinnati Bengals, right? It was just a standard tackle. Same thing. Bo Jackson was running down the field. Somebody caught him from behind and basically just that standard jumped on his back type thing. Like, not a horse collar, sort of jumped on him and landed on top and they both fell. And something popped. And Bo Jackson told the guy, as like basically immediately, Bo went down. And Bo looked up and told him, I'm done. Bo told him, I said, I'm over, I'm done. He goes, that's it. He goes, my knee's done. Like, Bo told him. The guy, like, felt bad, too. Like, you know what I mean? I forget who it was. But same thing. Bo Jackson was down, and that was that. But it was one of those, it didn't look bad at the time. And it's always that way, isn't it? It's just always that way. Just very jarring. Like you said, you know, we're used to injuries. We're used to this. We're used to that. Has there ever been, honestly, I don't know, I'm asking out loud right now, has there ever been a Monday Night Football game that started and had stopped before? I don't believe so. Like, it's very rare, like, that sporting events, like, when's the last time an event got canceled after it started? Like, an umpire died at a Cincinnati Red game, like, 30 years ago. Mark Schott wanted a game to go on, and they said, listen, the umpire just died. So, like, this, you know, it happens. Like, it's not, you know, let's pray for the best. This is Sports Rage.